B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, welcome in, everybody, and good morning to you. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you today. And this is something that makes me feel like a kid every single year. It gives me the good feeling. It gives me the little warm and fuzzies in my belly. It's when you look down at the TV and you see guys in the red practice jerseys, the Phillies across the chest, and they're doing the stupid little calisthenic chills. That makes me feel like a kid every single year. Phillies pitchers and catchers, with all the stuff going on with the Sixers and the Flyers next and all that stuff, we've almost ignored the Phillies. We talked about them a little bit yesterday, but with that fine feeling of seeing those guys running around in those warm-ups and all that fun stuff, their batting practice jerseys, if you will, it just makes me feel like a kid all over again. And with those wonderful feelings comes a nice little feeling of a new attitude with the Phillies. A great new attitude with the Phillies, considering what we've been looking at over the last couple of years with Gabe Kapler at the helm. With this nice little tingly feeling that I described, this is what we get this year, Trey. We get a
fine... We get to go down to spring training?
No.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
No?
That didn't come up in the meeting yesterday, did it?
No.
Maybe we'll bring it up today.
Because I know it's a pipe dream.
Because when you were saying, hey, we get to... This is what we get. I thought you were about to... Hit me with it. We get to go to spring training.
Well, maybe. Well,
I was about to get excited.
Well, Trey, we'd jump in the back of your truck, but there's a giant sofa in it right now.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? Stuff going on right now. Just moving things.
But working on the sofa too, Trey?
Hey, man, listen. There is absolutely nothing that's off limits in the house.
Right.
How'd the mattress delivery go yesterday? Right?
It was just he had to come in there and check it out, you know.
Oh, how'd
it
go?
Some warranty issues, you know.
Yeah.
He walked in, he was like, well, yeah, it's what you described. It's a lot of lumps. Yeah, so we definitely, all I got to do is just put these numbers in because, I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, you have worn this mattress out.
If it's a new mattress every, what did you say, every two years? Every 2-3 years. What's a new sofa, like every 6 months?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Good for you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there you go.
For tomorrow.
So, yeah, so I got to get a new mattress.
So that is a good feeling to know that you need to get a new mattress and a new sofa. Yeah, we'll look forward to that. It's exciting.
It's moving furniture, there's, man. You know, stuff happens, man. You know, there's nothing off limits, man.
There's actually no segue
it's
back to the Phillies.
A house full of love.
No.
And that's good. Yeah. It should always be. It should always be a fine house of love, if you will.
Yeah.
With the feeling of the Phillies, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I was hoping we were going to spring training. No spring training?
No spring training, unfortunately. Didier Gregorius is there, so that's nice. He's a good ball player. Better than what you had. Zach Wheeler is there, which is nice. It's better than what you had. Joe Girardi's obviously running the ship now. Better than what you had. But the other part of it is that David Robertson and Zach Wheeler are bringing piping hot takes to spring training. Did you see this? That David Robertson, former Yankee, is legit, and I would be too, I'm not discrediting this at all, is legit pissed off about the Astros cheating scandal. Legit pissed off about the Astros. And look, if you follow the numbers from 2017 when he was with the Yankees, I think he just got traded over from the White Sox, he goes in and has a great year. Absolutely great year for the Yankees after the trade deadline. The game that he really got shelled in was, I believe, Game 6 of the ALCS against the Astros. And if you talk about guys that have been, you know, they have a gripe against the Astros for this little scandal here, this is a guy that definitely has a gripe against the Astros for the scandal. And I love that 3 years later, he's still got a huge chip on his shoulder about it. Now, look, he just found out about it, but I'm sure, as we've heard, there's been mumbling about it for quite some time, where they kind of knew something was going on. They just didn't know how advanced it was. They didn't know they were using technology to steal signs and all that. And now Joe Girardi's even coming out, who was the manager of the Yankees at the time. He even comes out and says that we're going to do whatever we can to do in order to protect our signs. We're going to do whatever we have to do to protect our signs. And I love that. Yeah, it's modern baseball. It's what you got to do. But David Robertson, was flat out pissed off about the Astros yesterday and spoke about it at length. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But more pertaining to this year and how the Phillies could fare this year is that you do have that solid number two starter, more than solid potentially number two starter, behind Aaron Nola, which is something we've been looking for since really Jake Arrieta, Mr. Tight Pants himself, hasn't really panned out well here. And Zach Wheeler says he wants to go out there and win himself a Cy Young. I thought we lived in a city where we only listened to a guy like Joel Embiid talk about big season predictions. But Zach Wheeler wants to come here to Philadelphia and win himself a Cy Young Award. Go get it.
Yeah,
you want to start off spring training with that kind of attitude, with that kind of optimism, with that kind of drive? Go get you some, Zach Wheeler. I really can't wait. And I am. It is weird to think about only having the 10 games. Jamie, I heard you talking about this just to end the five there. It's weird to only have that feeling with the 10 spring training games that are going to be broadcast on TV.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I guess we should be
seeing some live.
We should.
I mean, I have a place down there.
Yeah, 2 hours, right?
I have two places down there, actually. Two homes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. We should be going down there. Damn. I thought you just had like your parents' place 2 hours from there.
No, I have my parents, and then I have a place down there as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Coach, when you come in, please stop in this studio.
Because I can't swing from the ceiling fans at my mom and my house.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know.
Well, now it's looking more likely. Now that I know we have two options down there, places
just
we can
weird.
Stay.
I don't need my mom coming in. Hey, what y'all are doing?
Mom, go to my park for a minute. Give me some time. Oh my God!
Go to my park.
Yeah, that is still wild. And I was talking to my wife. I was like, "Yeah, you know the park that I was like, yeah, my park.
Yes, your park.
It's still a little.
Did a whole ceremony and everything. Yeah. I cried on Shaq's mom's shoulder.
Yeah,
that's my park.
It's just wild.
All right, so maybe it's looking more likely now. So we could continue the good vibes from the Phillies in spring training at your one of your places, swinging from the chandeliers.
I got a couple places down there.
A couple places.
Shoot down there.
All right, maybe we'll go down. Maybe we'll go down.
Yeah, we can see some.
We can what?
We can go down there and see a little spring training.
I'm in. 100% I'm in. So we can all enjoy the fine spoils of spring training with the Phillies and enjoy the good vibes that they're putting out there.
Yeah.
We'll let you hear from Zach Wheeler a little bit later in the show with his bold predictions. And I wanted to start off with the Phillies today because I wanted to start off with some optimism. And I wanted to start off with something that makes you feel good. Because as the day went on yesterday, and we'll let you hear these comments again that we played yesterday from our conversation with Tobias Harris. You know the phrase, winning is the best deodorant? Mm-hmm. That makes me worry when I hear people start to implement that.
It's better than desperation is a stinky cologne.
Yeah, but it kind of means the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm with you, but when I hear Tobias Harris say that he called Joel Embiid after the social media posts, it lets you know that it means something in the locker room other than, oh, you know, that's JoJo being JoJo. You know, he'll do his thing, whatever, we're fine. And look, they won against the Clippers, and that's great. And we think we have found a new rotation here in Philadelphia with Al Horford coming off the bench and maybe Glenn Robinson III in your starting lineup after the All-Star break. So there's more cause for optimism after a big win than just, oh, hey, they beat the one of the best teams in the NBA. That's great. No, it's not just that, because as we found out on Christmas Day, you could beat a team like the Bucks, who's the best team in the Eastern Conference, and then you go to Milwaukee and you lose to them. But the more cause for optimism is the fact that you might have found that new rotation. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, that's what you look at after a win like that. It's great to see the win against the Clippers. Hey, on any given Sunday, as they say in football, any given game in the NBA, you can maybe get the best of another team.
No, I feel like it's a new season starting.
It really does, because you're going to see a new look for this team. You're going to see two guys, regardless of how they're used, either Glenn Robinson or Alec Burks, after the All-Star break, used that were better than what you had, to go right back to that phrase. So it makes you feel as if there's going to be a little bit of a, this is too dramatic a term, but a little bit of a rebirth with this Sixers team. And your starting lineup might look a little bit different than what it did before the All-Star break, with Al Horford coming off the bench, and you still have Matisse Thybulle there, you still have Furkan Korkmaz there. So there's more cause for optimism for me, because I believe that you have freed things up to start out your games. I think with Al Horford on the bench and probably Glenn Robinson as your starting three, I feel as if you have unlocked a key in this offense. I feel like you have pushed a button where almost your guys are just creating a lot more space for themselves and not everybody's jammed up. And as I said yesterday, you don't have those three guys that are in that 10 or 5 foot space where they can't move. They have no freedom. So that's what gives me more cause for optimism other than just committing the simple act of beating, or not simple act, but good act of beating the Clippers. So that's where my optimism comes in. And it's not just the fact that they won. It's the fact that they have a different look now. But when I hear Tobias Harris acknowledge that there was an effect in the locker room when another player had a, I hate to even call it a flirtation to make it seem like it was more than it was, but when you have another player go through what Joel Embiid just more or less put himself through, Tobias Harris felt the need to reach out and be like, hey man, you good?
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're in the environment of winning is the best cologne. And what I hate about that is that the second you lose a couple of games, if they go through another bad road trip, if they still can't figure out their road woes, then more of that drama starts to come out. And the worst drama is the drama about breaking up a team. And the other little quarter in this machine came out yesterday from, was it our boy Swaggy P that put it out there?
Yeah, he did tweet that.
Nick Young saying that this team is being broken apart by the media, putting the two star players against themselves.
He's got a point.
Like, yeah, because the media, look, well, I'm not going to ignore it. People love drama. Like, people say, oh, the media is creating drama. Well, not really us. Like, a lot of people are creating the drama. It doesn't just start, like, not one person just doesn't throw something against a wall. It comes from somewhere.
Oh, I saw Doo-Doo Brains Rick Boucher, whatever the hell his name
Boucher,
is.
Yeah, Boucher, yeah.
Yesterday going, oh, you got to trade Ben Simmons. You build around Joel Embiid. Blah, blah, blah. Stop. Just everybody, Candace Parker the other night. Well, Joel Embiid's as good as gone.
Yeah.
You got Brian Windhorst going, oh, teams are preparing to trade for, stop. Shut up.
It's coming from somewhere. Like, I think Butcher just giving an opinion.
No, I think he's a doo-doo brain.
I can't.
In the most mature of terms.
I was trying to thank you for using technical, grown-up terms. But I look at it, and I don't think anyone's creating drama. I think that they watch the team play. I think they talk to people in the league. And somebody says something along the lines of, Ben and Joe are not best friends, but they both want to win. And it's like, oh, they're not best friends. Oh, the second something goes wrong, they'll blow this up.
I don't care.
Yeah, neither do I. Like, Bob, maybe it was an effort, because I know you made this point yesterday. Maybe they actually made an effort of showing more PDA, Trey, to use your term.
Yeah.
And maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But we've seen that before when stuff's hit the fan with those two. Where we've seen them, for instance, no better example than the Carl Anthony Towns fight at the beginning of the season. Ben was right there. Yo, I got your back. Anytime, I got your back. Yeah, they don't have to be playing Call of Duty together. They don't have to be sharing the candy from the candy kitchen together.
No.
They got to go on the court and play.
Mm-hmm. Evan Turner and Drew Holiday were best friends.
And that didn't work.
Wow, warm and fuzzy.
Yeah,
great.
Right. Exactly. And they couldn't be on the court together.
I swear to God, who cares if they... And Jamie will tell you, I told him this when we first got here this morning. A national person sent me a text last night saying, I had no idea that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid hated each other that much until I just found out.
What?
I sent back, I'm just talking from when I was on the beat and being around. Not sure they're the best of friends, but hate each other might be a little strong.
Yeah, that's a little strong.
Yeah, and...
Stop. Why?
But,
and it's funny, it'll say the Philly media. The Philly media isn't the one that's purporting this. This is the national media that's doing it.
Right.
You know, like... I don't... What? All right, and also, Mark, to go back to your point, creating the drama, Philly media, whatever it is, you said Tobias Harris had to make a phone call to Joel Embiid just to say, like, yo, dude, you all right? Why? Because Joel Embiid started the drama once again on his own. That wasn't done by anyone else but him. Tobias Harris only was here 27 games last year to end the season before the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So he hadn't seen Joel Embiid's act. Joel Embiid went and played an all-star game. They get Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris then doesn't see him because Joel Embiid hurt the knee and he was out for a long time. All this is kind of new to him. So he's like, wait, what's going on here? What are you doing, dude? So he felt the need to make a phone call to him. That's all started by Joel Embiid. It's not started by anybody else here in Philadelphia. So whatever drama the national media wants to say that's here, we all laugh at it and we blow it off and we roll our eyes because that's just Joe being Joe. Tobias is like national media too because he didn't see it all the time. That's why he had to react. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the national media is doing now.
Oh, I remember hearing 2 years ago, the first person I heard it from was Colin Cowherd. Like, what does that tell you?
Exactly.
Like hot take central over there, half-baked opinions over there, and what you want to hear is, oh, JoJo and Ben aren't best friends. They're not boys by any means, but they're also, you know, they don't hate each other, but they're not, like, they're kind of jealous of each other's spotlight. I don't get that vibe at all from these guys. Not even a little bit. But when Tobias Harris comes out and says, yeah, I felt the need to call, that makes me worried a little bit because then you get into that realm of that deodorant that I was talking about because the minute things start to fan again after something like this, well, everyone thinks this is about to fall apart. And you hear Nick Young talk about it. You hear another guy, Jamie, I saw you talk about that as well, Butcher, come out and say that you know, you need to trade Ben Simmons. Like, this team is a good team. And this team could have just gotten a lot better because one of the things they really had trouble with was the rotation, was the spacing. And now you might have solved those two big issues.
Plus, what the hell is Butcher talking about? The trade deadline's over. Stop.
It's a little late for that take.
But, like, why doesn't this happen with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green? You don't hear the stories about them.
Because you see them on the bench goofing off with each other. So everyone thinks, oh, that's great. They love playing with each other.
I don't give a damn if they're best friends and go get ice cream and go see 1917 on road trips together. I care that they play basketball well together.
We did hear about it when it came to Kevin Durant, though, with them.
Well, because he's got 16 burner accounts and is a little sensitive.
Got a little emotional.
So I hope we're not in the danger zone of winning is the best deodorant. Because then that's a situation where I do look for the shoe to drop. Because you're on thin ice, essentially. Look at the Eagles. The Eagles had the greatest locker room you could ever walk into the year they won the Super Bowl. All right, they went through all the injuries, all the underdog BS, right? And then the following year, they had some other injury issues. Some drama started to leak out. And then what happened again this year when they started to lose a little bit more? Some more Alshonimus quotes, to use our friend Jimmy Kemsky's word. Alshonimus quotes came out there. Reports about Alshon Jeffrey not being happy and not being happy with Carson Wentz and the offense. So winning, yes, is the best deodorant, no matter what. It cures all. It's the greatest cure-all. But the minute things start to hit the fan again is when things can really start to fall apart. Well, I don't want to see that happen with the Sixers team.
I do think that winning is the best deodorant because I am not one that feels like, oh, this was just Joel just being Joel with this whole
right.
Tweet
you
thing.
You've had a different opinion than most.
Yeah, I think his first reaction was real. When he shushed and told everybody to shut the F up or whatever it was that he said. And then I think that tweet that he put out there was real, too. He was going off of his feelings. I thought that his feelings were a little hurt. So, yeah, he put that out there, and now he started backtracking. I do feel like winning is the best deodorant when it comes to this. And if things start going bad again, expect something else to come out.
All right, we'll let you hear from Tobias Harris again because we got to it late in the show yesterday. So I want our earlier audience to hear it as well. A couple of great things. The good thing you said was that, look, whether you like Brett Brown or you don't like Brett Brown, you want the coach to be in control in most situations.
Right.
For Tobias Harris to also come out and say that, yeah, coach is always going to have the locker room as long as I'm here, I love that. That's a guy that wants to be a leader. Because even if the coach starts to get pushed aside a little bit, he's going to keep the locker room together. Like, I love a player coming out and saying something like that. He had some great stuff to say. We'll get to a little bit later. The Flyers are back in action tonight after Tuesday night's disappointing loss to the Islanders up in Brooklyn. They're visiting the Panthers tonight. I would assume Carter Hart will be back.
Yeah,
in
I think so. I don't think you're going home goalie away,
yeah,
are you?
I don't think so either.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. I'm glad to see that. We have a pair of Flyers tickets to give away today to our caller of the day.
Nice.
All right, there we go.
The Flyers, they're pushing for that playoff spot right now, and you can win a pair of tickets to go see the Flyers take on the Columbus Blue Jackets Tuesday, February 18th. For tickets, go to Flyers, PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. So that'd be a good thing. Bob, you cannot win the tickets. I'm sure you have a press credential. You can go see TK on your own, but you can't win these tickets. I'm sorry.
I see TK plenty. You see my dreams.
And we're going to do something today that I think is going to help all of humanity. Because something went viral last night. I saw it first on Barstool. And then it was all over the place. And if you look in the comments, there's like news outlets trying to find this woman that recorded it.
Oh, is this airplane related?
Airplane related.
Yeah, I saw this.
No, we're going to talk about
I don't know how I feel about this.
Okay, I do know how I feel about it.
I see both sides of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's exceptions.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exceptions, actually. And there's a lot of different circumstances that go into making this big decision in your life when you board an airplane. The image, the video that was tweeted out and has gone viral, is a woman sitting in her airplane seat. She has reclined the seat. So she's enjoying the full functionality of her seat. While the gentleman sitting behind her is in the last seat of that row, I guess, and he can't recline.
Yeah, he can't recline.
So she's like all up in his space. Uh-huh. He then starts, when you read the headline in Clickbait Society, it says punching the seat.
No.
He's like shaking and poking the seat in front of him. Yeah. To try to get her to move up. Instead of her going, oh, I'm sorry, I'll move up a little bit more, or I just won't recline, she takes out her phone and starts recording the guy shaking her seat.
Yeah.
Then he whispers something. I couldn't make it out.
I hate you.
Is that what he says?
No, I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised because it was quick.
Once we get off this plane, it's going to be trouble.
And then apparently the stewardess comes over, the flight attendant comes over, and offers the guy shaking the woman's seat a free drink. Uh-huh. Now, I've seen something like this happen before where the person reclined, the person behind was upset, and the flight attendant's like, what do you want me to do? The seat reclines. Like, that's their seat that they paid for, so what do you want? I never saw a flight attendant rewarding another passenger for disturbing another one, shaking the other one's seat. So let's just, in general, let's go around the horn. Is it okay to put in, this is in general, this is no other extenuating circumstances, two seats, one in front of the other. In general, is it okay to
now,
put your seat back?
We do have to, there is a little caveat.
What was
the
that?
Guy is in the last seat of the plane. Did you say this?
In this scenario.
And it does not recline.
Correct.
Right,
okay.
Said, yes. Okay.
So he cannot fade away from her.
He can't fade away.
So whose fault is that?
He can't.
That's his fault. That's part of the equation.
Everybody can go on there, and you have those little seats, seating charts, and you can click, I want that seat there.
And I have, I don't know how many miles, Bob, nowhere near you, but over a million miles in the sky, right? Like, I've done my share of flying. I can't, anytime somebody puts their seat back in front of me, I go, I got to deal with this now.
I get filled with rage. Because in the day of technology, like I had my laptop once, and the person almost crunched my screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got really angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do anything about it. I just probably whined in text messages and, and you know, was just filled with rage for the next 2.5 hours. I would have loved to have gone Larry David and started hitting the person's seat.
Yeah.
But I just get angry.
All right.
Because I accept that the seat does that, it's out of my control.
This is the society that we live in. So I'll go first here. It's okay. In general, generally speaking, no caveats, it's okay. You paid for your seat. Seat goes back. You put it back. Trey?
Well, where I sit, I don't have those problems.
I was going to say because, but even in general, you're 6'8".
I know.
You're a huge man.
I know.
I don't even know how you fly anywhere.
But where I'm sitting, we don't have those problems.
Yeah. So that's the other option. That's the other option is, well,
first class.
Don't mean to be like that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it.
You have to. I mean, you can't sit, coach.
And when I'm flown, coach, I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there with my knee up against the seat, and just hear what it is, right? That puppy.
That's the other thing. It hits your knees. I'm 6'3".
So this would be a caveat. If I look back and I see Trey, or even you, Jamie, like a taller gentleman or a taller woman, whatever, I look back, I go, yeah, I'm not going to put my seat back at all.
Yeah.
If it's a kid, go for it.
Oh, if it's a kid.
They get all the room in the world.
Bob?
So, if I'm the person...
Oh, but I can tell Bob's torn on this.
I am. If I'm the person, and it's obnoxiously all the way to the point where... If I'm going back, I like you just said, I always look to see what's behind me. All right, right. What do I got? You know, do I have a bigger whatever?
Assess the situation.
If I'm sitting on a plane, I have my laptop, and somebody sits down, then boom, they just all of a sudden go back. Like, I might say, can you just give me a little room, like, please? But 9 times out of 10, no, I don't say a thing.
Okay.
Nor do I ever recline
but
my seat.
Is it
back.
Okay in general?
It's not okay to tap the seat like that. No.
Is it okay to put the seat back?
You're afforded that right. Yes. You can't argue against that.
Rageful Hulk, Jamie Lynch.
Unfortunately, I have to say yes, it's acceptable. Although I want to be that guy punching the head.
We all think it. You know what I think? I think of Elaine from Seinfeld above all, because she like went like hog wild on that seat.
Yeah, like, I mean, the airlines just need to be better as the bottom line and give you a little more space.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
but that's never going
to
happen.
We're trying to solve a problem today. We're trying to help people today. Now, there are many caveats, but in general, is it okay to put the seat back?
Yes, because it's okay.
Or just sit with Trey in first class.
Yeah. Take the train. Train is very...
I love traveling by train.
So do I.
Sam, is it okay to put the seat back?
She paid for a ticket, so I guess she has the right to do it, but I think it's a jerk move. I hate that so much.
You do have to be careful of the screens, because I've had a couple of close calls as well.
Yeah, I almost broke a laptop once, and I would have freaked out.
All right, so I believe we will help society today. I believe we'll help society today by making the final decision by the end of the show whether or not most people think it's okay.
What's
to put
your
seat
guess?
Back.
Most people agree with her or him? Well,
most people, I think, will be, if you put your seat back, you can go to hell. I think that's where most people will side on today.
Okay.
I think that's just... You're coming into my space. But I do give a look.
Yeah,
I never just go, well, this is my right. Boom. I always give a look. And you if I see Trey or if I see Jamie, it's not going back.
You can learn right so much about people watching them travel.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it was my greatest thing. Watch somebody get on a plane, not realizing there's people behind them, selfishly taking their time, the seat back kind of thing, they treat flight attendants.
You know what I never got about airlines?
Mm.
And I understand priority boarding, you can get your bag where you want. Why don't they load back to front?
I never
because
understood.
Of status.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
Why?
Whoa.
I paid.
I like to get on first.
Well, first class, you can have.
First class, you can get on. You're fine. You can get on
first. Load from the back to the front.
But why? I want to get on the... I have more status. I can... I know I have my bag and a spot for my bag.
But it's a stupid boarding process.
Oh, yeah, but they make more money this way.
I guess.
That's why they don't do... I agree with you. And then it's I got status on a flight. I got status on a flight, which is a terrible way to refer to it.
Yeah.
But I got you know.
I know, I'm a former gold member myself.
Exactly.
You get to sit there. Get to the back. Get to the back.
And the worst people, forget the seat recliners, the worst people are the get up and stand in the aisle as soon as the plane lands.
No, you have to do that. If you stand in the aisle.
Wait, whoa.
No.
You hate, James?
No, you have to stand up in the aisle.
Yeah, you got to be first.
Why? You got to be ready to go.
Yeah.
You got to be ready to go.
If you're catching another plane,
the second. Wait. When the bell goes off, you better be standing up now.
I agree.
Why can't you unload front to back?
Yeah, I agree. If you're in the front, you stand up. If you don't, if you're in the back, just wait your turn.
Because I'm not waiting for the aisle across from me. If I'm sitting in the aisle, I am aisle captain.
I do the leg step
up
out.
And I might be getting my bags over you, so boom, I'm standing up right there. All you got is crotch right there.
All right, sorry, I need to specify. If you try to move up when you stand, I'm okay with occasional standard, but the people that try to jump people in the aisle.
Oh, my bag's up there. I got to go. Yeah, you can wait.
Go to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm right there in your face. Bam.
Let's make a better society today.
Look how horrible we are.
Get away for that.
We are now in a terrible mood just by talking about traveling.
God, I do not miss
those
days.
Well, with your manscaping tray, I'm sure it's a very fresh aroma.
Yes, it is.
Coming up.
Because I use an anti-chafing ball deodorant.
Coming up, we'll let you hear from Tobias Harris from our conversation with him the other day.
Did he chime in on this?
He did not. He did not ask Tobias Harris about his travel. Actually, I asked him what he was doing at the All-Star break. He said, just hanging out at home.
Really?
And I was like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
All right, Time of the Fanatic 924. Oh, coming up, we'll let you hear from Tobias Harris. Time of the Fanatic 924.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We may have opened Pandora's box, but our official Twitter poll is our side topic today. Is it okay to put your seat back on a flight? I do have to tell you, the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. Without further ado, our conversation with Tobias Harris. So the first thing I asked him about the other night was Joel Embiid's post, because we want to know how much that affects the locker room when they say, now they go and win. So all is right with the world, right? The deodorant is covering the Sixers. We're good. We're fine. Tobias Harris felt it necessary to have a little communication with this big man after he saw those posts on social media. Here's how Tobias Harris told 97.5 The Fanatic. Here's how he felt about JoJo's posts.
It's more about, you know, us making sure that as a teammate, Joe is good, that he's in good spirits. And, you know, Joel is at the end of the day, he's still a human. Humans have feelings and humans have emotions. And, you know, you can express those and not have to be ridiculed by people. So, you know, obviously, like with his post, I called him and asked him, you know, just to check on him. And he was fine and in good spirits, and I keep it moving from there. Like, you know, it's not, people look too much into it sometimes, but at the end of the day, like, it is what it is.
So he also said that they didn't take it as a joke.
No, they shouldn't.
I thought most of the guys in that locker room who know him better than we know him, or they work with him every day, would take it as, oh, it's just Joel being Joel, but they felt the need to reach out and go, or at least Tobias Harris did, hey, man, what's going on? Everything cool?
And to further how odd this is, think about who called him, Tobias Harris, who's on his fifth team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around a lot of teammates.
Sure.
So he felt the need like, whoa, this is weird. So think about that. He's been with all kinds of players in this league, and what JoJo did was like, wow, this is weird. I got to call this dude. So for us to roll our eyes and be used to it, it's Joe being Joe.
Right.
Sure, that's fine. That's great. And that's the truth. But Tobias Harris felt the need because it was so strange to give him a call. And Joe probably said, yeah, it's just me being me. Okay.
I'll just refer to him as Goo. Goo on our Twitch feed here tells us, so Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson, he means, are the leaders of this team. Yep, that's pretty much how it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is very much their team.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons do not want the reins. They just want to play they just want to be themselves. They don't want to have to worry about being the leader. And that's fine. If you're not a leader, don't try to be a leader. Nothing worse than that. So then the other thing that Tobias Harris came out and said yesterday, 2 days ago after the game against the Clippers, was basically that this team will remain Brett Brown's team as long as he's in the locker room. Take a listen to this. I asked him, how would you respond to the people that say Brett has lost the locker room? Here he is on that.
Well, you know, not for nothing. The coach is always going to have a locker room when, you know, when he has somebody, not to, you know, toot my own, but somebody like myself in the locker room, I make sure that this thing never falls over. And, you know, I hold everybody accountable. I try to hold myself accountable first, but he for sure has a locker room. We're trying to figure this thing out.
I love the idea of a not for nothing, first and foremost. Hey, not for nothing, but let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't going to lose the locker room as long as I'm part of this locker room. I think that Tobias Harris has a fear in him. And it's a good fear. It's a motivating fear. Because when we interviewed him when he got traded to Philadelphia, one of the first things he said to us and in his introductory press conference and later in the year was the one thing he wanted to see after playing for 5 or 6 different teams in the NBA, he wanted loyalty.
Mm.
That's what he wanted from a team. He wanted a commitment from a team. Tobias Harris, and yeah, he's a max contract guy, so you would hope that he would, you know, be loyal to a team that's willing to pay him that money. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to be traded. He wants to be here for the foreseeable future and have success. Like, that guy actually wants to win. And he doesn't want to see anything fall apart. He doesn't want to see the locker room fall apart. He doesn't want to see Joel Embiid fall apart as an individual. This is where he has put all his eggs, in this Sixers basket. He might be the guy that most doesn't want to see this fall apart. I mean, other than Brett Brown, because it might cost him his job, probably will if it does fall apart. But he's the guy that's saying, you got to keep everything together. We got to be on the same page, and it has to work out here because I don't want to go anywhere else. I've done my circuit in the NBA. This is where it has to work out. So when you look in that locker room, the guy that might have the most riding on this is Tobias Harris.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the guy looking around saying, okay, if there's any hint of danger, if there's any hint of that danger zone that I talked about when you're masking all the problems with winning, the minute things start to fall apart, Tobias Harris wants to be the guy right there to sew it back up. I give him a lot of credit for that. I think it makes the most sense, actually.
Sure, 15 in 9 years. I mean, there's a guy that's borderline all-star, as you said, max contract. yeah, I think he wants to dig in and stay somewhere for once. And he hasn't been able to do it. He's always been that guy, oh, he's good trade bait. He's good trade bait. Let's get that extra piece. Tobias Harris is available. Well, yeah, he wants to set some roots down here. And so good for him for wanting to do that, A, and B, saying I'm going to be a leader to make sure that things are stable while I'm here. I applaud him. Oh, I really do.
I'm sorry. Gooch. My bad, Gooch. That's what we'll call you on Twitch there. My apologies. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, I mentioned to start the show the good vibes surrounding the Phillies. Because there's some great vibes right now. Zach Wheeler says he wants to win a Cy Young. David Robertson's still pissed at the Yankees. Joe Girardi wants to protect the signs. But there's somebody out there, a numbers site, let's call it that, that have not given Phillies fans reason to be optimistic about this season. And that's disappointing, to say the absolute least. We'll let you know what that is and how they got the number of wins the Phillies will have this season coming up in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Giving away a pair of Flyers tickets tonight for a fine, fine Flyers game coming up the week from last Tuesday. So Tuesday, February 18th, giving away a pair of Flyers tickets so you can go see those Flyers take on the Columbus Blue Jackets Tuesday, February 18th. If you want to purchase Flyers tickets, just go to Philadelphia Flyers. .com. It's just that easy. Coming up a little bit later in the 7 o'clock hour, more trouble in the state of Florida. And this really isn't even that weird.
Well, you know.
But it does involve Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. On the football field. So we'll get into that a little bit later. It's rather interesting here. The thing that I saw that bothered me, because I have some optimism about the Phillies. Like, I would say, like, right now with the Phillies, I'm feeling like an 88 win season.
Wow.
Like, I'm feeling like in that 80 to 90 range kind of right now.
I think they're, my gut says like 86, 88. I'm not too far off of you.
I guess you could describe it as the fan base is being cautious. Because
yeah.
The fan base for the vast majority of last year is like, at least a wild card. We're a playoff team with the Phillies. We could do this.
They could potentially get a wild card.
And then
it's not going to be easy.
Absolutely. They could.
I'd be shocked if anybody but the Dodgers won the NL. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. That's silly.
And I thought of you yesterday, Bob, by the way, on that topic real quick. I thought of you yesterday because what did Mookie Betts say? He pulled the anti-Joel Embiid. Mookie Betts said, Bob's big point yesterday was like, JoJo never says, hey, well, how about what a great game Ben had or whatever it was. So Mookie Betts like, I'm just going to try to follow Bellinger, man. That guy's going to be putting on a show. That's like, aw, look at you guys.
Yeah, isn't that cute?
Starting off on the right foot.
Yeah.
But like, I just feel like the Phillies are going to have that 88 to 90 win. I think they'll be in the wild card hunt this year. Hmm. And who knows? Maybe things go even better. Maybe Rhys Hoskins figures it out and all that stuff. But I feel like the fan base, after making their predictions going into last year with Bryce Harper and then all that falling apart, and then after going into the Eagles season with all the expectations about the Eagles, and that was a disappointment, and then the Sixers, like, look, they're still on pace for 50 wins, but there's still greater expectation for them. I feel like everyone's like, you know, let's just appreciate the fact that we have some nice things and maybe we can go a little further than we expect.
Hey, you know, I gave it some thought, and I think just conservatively speaking, I'm going undefeated.
You went 16-0 with the Eagles. Yeah. I believe you went 82-0 with the
Sixers.
With the Sixers.
Are you going to be undefeated?
162-0.
Yeah, 162-0. I mean, you know, just conservatively speaking.
It's a bold, thing because they could just
maybe lose. Maybe 161-1.
And maybe they get swept in the playoffs.
No.
They'll win the World Series, too?
Just call them.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'm not going to be mad at you if that's what ends up happening.
That's what I think. That's how I always plan it. I can't plan for losses.
I understand.
I can't do it. It's just the athlete in me. I can't say, oh, we're going to lose this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go into it thinking, you know, we're sweeping everybody.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Everybody can get it.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Everyone can go out there and they can get it.
We're going undefeated.
Okay, that's fine. There is a...
So if it happens, you heard it here first.
Trey hit us with a piping hot take before we even got really the jump on it.
I can't play any losses.
All right. Well, I don't want to be anybody... I don't want to rain on anybody's parade here. But there is a negative site. And it's not... a group of national media people that all voted on this or all put in their two cents. It's essentially an algorithm run by Baseball Prospectus, a great respected website and people that cover the sport and all that stuff. But it's an algorithm, Pacoda, I think is what you call it. And they have predicted the Phillies to win 77 games this season. I saw somebody was pissed because I think Vegas has the Phillies at like 86 games.
I think it's 84 and a half is the line.
84 and a half, excuse me.
Yeah.
And this website has them at 77 games. Another sub 500 or non over 500 season for the Phillies.
They won 81 last year. I don't get how they'd be worse.
And I don't like, did the Braves get leaps and bounds better?
Yeah, like the Braves.
By the way, Cole Hamels already out
3 weeks at least. Yeah, I mean, the Braves and Nationals lost some star power on their teams last year. You know, the Braves are still the favorite to win the division and all that. But how are the Phillies going to be worse?
I don't know. I don't, like, are they predicting more injuries? Like, can they do that?
Are they predicting Rhys Hoskins bats 132 in the second half rather than the 181 he did? I mean, Zach Wheeler alone stabilizes your rotation somewhat.
Here's how they sized up here. The Mets, 88 wins.
What?
So they win the division. The Nationals...
Wait, the Mets win the division?
The Mets win the division.
Come on.
88 wins for the Mets. 87 wins for the Nationals. 83 wins for the Braves. 77 for the Phillies. 71 for the Marlins. So the Phillies come in fourth place in their own division.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, mm. Algorithm is...
Oh, yeah, it's the numbers. What do I always say?
Undefeated, baby.
What do I always say? Numbers don't lie, but they do deceive. These numbers are deceitful. They're deceitful. I can't wait for opening day, and not just because I'm a dork when it comes to baseball. I love baseball, but I really do think you're going to have a much different feel with this Phillies team. It's going to start with your manager. I think it's going to go also back to Bryce Harper. I'm cautiously optimistic about Rhys Hoskins because I think you do have a better coaching staff in place. You have a number two starter. You have a number two starter in Zach Wheeler that's already talking about winning a Cy Young Award. Like, that's where his goals are at the Cy Young level right now. I think Aaron Nola, who is a run worse than he was in the previous year with his ERA, I think he's going to flourish under the new pitching coach. Like, I think you have that great 1-2 punch that you need at the front end of a rotation. It's not just about being, it's not questioning as to whether or not Jake Arrieta can be healthy.
I want to sit and watch film with the pitching coach, too.
You do want to, yeah, you were saying yesterday you want to watch a hitter and how he approaches, you know, his watching film.
I would love to watch. I want to sit and watch film with Vigneault as well.
Oh, you really want to break down hockey?
Yeah, I want to get a better feel for it.
Yeah.
Just to learn, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you thinking in different moments? Just even with baseball, like, you know, when you're talking about pitching, like, What are you thinking when it comes to mechanics of what you know, because that's what I do at football. I'm always thinking, okay, this is what your stance, this is what I'm expecting, this is what's going to happen. Well, I would love to see that from different sports angles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just cause that's just how I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it's fun to watch sports through the eyes of others.
Yeah, especially and that's from what you'd good be doing. Coaching.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Well, see, that's what, like, when we do trench talk during the season, you break that down for us. Like, we can't go into the trenches. Like, we can't do that. We can't live that life. You have lived that life for a long time. And even before you were in the NFL, after the NFL, coaching and all that stuff, you are still very much, that's your thought process.
Yeah.
To watch it, as Bob said, through somebody else's eyes, but to watch it also through somebody who's been there and fought those battles and studied it as much as you have, it is a really interesting perspective.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch it with somebody who has played the game like you did. And then you ever watch sports with somebody that just never watches sports?
Mm.
Every once in a while, there's a little nugget there that you're like, how the hell did, what? Like, every once in a while, there's a little thing that's like, how come I never thought of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing.
Something that's just so bam, but you just look over it.
Like, put it this way. and this is the little interesting thing. You talk about through the eyes, right? And I wanted to get to this a little bit later, but we're kind of there now. Tim Legler, after the Sixers beat the Clippers, did you hear this comment he made about Embiid about why he shoots so many threes?
No.
This is the scariest thing. Tim Legler said, the reason he shoots that many threes is so he doesn't have to run the length of the court.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've had that thought.
Absolutely.
Like, it can't be that simple, can it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If you notice on games where he looks, like, gassed, I think his threes go up.
Mm-hmm. I have noticed you see him...
Because he's trailing a lot, and he gets the kickouts from Ben.
Exactly.
And he's trailing because he's gassed.
I have noticed later in games that I'll see him come into the frame late when everybody else is already set.
Yeah.
And I'm going, did he fall or whatever? And then he's open at the top of the key, and he shoots a three every once in a while. But I never, I guess, considered it as part of conditioning.
Even when he's not taking the ball, even though he's not inbounding the ball.
Yeah. Ben usually is, yeah.
But they had it where he always inbounded the ball.
Oh, you mean after a basket. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Like when the other team scores, they would wait for Jeff. And I never understood that. And I said this to you guys, I think, last year. I never understood why do you designate him that he's got to come back, inbound the ball? But it probably was a conditioning thing. Mm-hmm. Get him used to going back, running the floor, going from block to block, you know.
And also, if you want Ben attacking the rim in transition and quick and bringing the ball up before the defense is set, if Joe's not in the lane with the other center, it should free up space for Ben to drive and create. And mm-hmm. I do think Brett likes that aspect of it with him as the trailer. But, yeah, I mean, the conditioning is definitely probably part of it.
Right, but you shouldn't be trailing because you're slow. I mean, or excuse me, you shouldn't be trailing because you're slow. You shouldn't be trailing because you're tired, yeah.
For this lineup, though.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.